So good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for attending this next session. We are going to be focusing on just really talking about what Charles Schwab has been doing with their active trading community. So presenting is Steve Maiello from Charles Schwab. He is a senior manager there and responsible for the active trading community. And you'll be learning a lot of great information around kind of the process they've gone through from just overall awareness to actually getting some great value out of the community. So please welcome Steve.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you guys for joining today. I think they gave me this time last year too, right after lunch when everybody's, you know, starting to fall asleep about halfway through. So hopefully we can keep you awake with our story at Schwab. We've been with Jive now for 2 years. And I was here last year and asked to present, and I presented with Barry, and I was pretty disappointed that he was leaving me hanging all by myself this year. But I'm going to assume it's because we did such a good job, or that he didn't do a good enough job, and they said, Barry, you can't come back on stage. So as Barry mentioned, we're going to share some of the story. There's some stuff I want to share about our growth from inception, a little background on the project, and then into, you know, adoption, awareness, engagement, results, and then moving on into where we are today and how we are looking to measure an important topic that I came here last year to learn about, which was how do you present the ROI to your leaders. So hopefully you'll gain some insights, and I have a question actually. So my role is I'm in a marketing strategy group at Schwab called Client Experience. So I'm curious, are there a lot of, just to raise a hand, business or managers of communities? How many managers are there? Okay, about half the group. Technical leads? Couple. I know one, mine. and what sort of groups, by a raise of hands, the managers, are you guys in a product development role? No? Okay, I've met several. It's kind of, or a marketing role? Marketing? Okay. Just been curious to gauge where in different businesses the sort of business management lies. And it seems to be varied quite a bit, which is interesting. So, all right. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to start with a little bit of history just to set context for you as to, you know, my industry, the financial services industry, and how we've developed social media into our industry. Now, back in 2005, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the brokerage industry. The topics, financial topics, have been around for a good 10 years. Investors picked up very quickly on the opportunities to talk about their financial and investing needs. The most obvious, Yahoo Finance, right? They've been around for a long time. They're massive message boards, sub communities. They really gave us all a good understanding of, yes, this is an area that's important. But at the same time, the sheer openness of the Yahoo Finance community also created places where people weren't happy with it, right? And a great example is, you know, people, you know, quoting and promoting stocks, right? They were, buy XYZ company, and because it's going to do this, this, and this, and there was no validity or way to validate this person's opinion, this person's thoughts on a stock. So, you know, there was this concern and growing concern, and so there became opportunities for different companies to get involved and to provide information in a secure environment. So, this next slide just shows a kind of short history timeline of our industry and social media really kicked in in 2006 with Zecco, which was one of the forerunners. And I'm not sure. I actually have spoken to somebody from Zecco. I don't know if they're here in the room today, but we've spoken before about communities. We really consider them. They were really at the forefront. They launched their broker dealer. The community was a key part of that launch. It was a driver for accounts. And not too long after that, Trade King came in, and they were concentrating on the blog side of social media at that point. And so they came in, and they showed success. There was a big interest in being a part of these communities. So, you know, Schwab in 2006, we actually undertook some research. We started to, you know, survey our clients, talk to them about what were they interested in, what were their needs around social networking. And we spent some time understanding what audiences, what segments of our client base. And we quickly found out that if we're going to do this, the most appropriate audience for us is going to be our active trader segment. They're an engaged segment. They're on their computers a lot, and they're in a lonely environment, frankly. So we identified who our target was going to be, and then we started asking them, okay, well, what would you want in a community? What would you be looking for? And you'll hear me throughout the presentation talk about this. Talk to your clients, talk to your prospective community members, talk to your community members. They are so critical to your adoption, growth, and maintenance of your community. And they're willing to give you information. They're in a community, right? They're not afraid to talk. So we got an understanding of what their needs were. And just to highlight a few, they were looking for trading tips, obvious. They were looking for information on Schwab. They were looking for strategy information. And an interesting one was they were looking for Schwab. They were looking for us to be in the community, an opportunity to get closer to us. At Schwab, we're really focused on relationships with our clients in a lot of areas. In our active trader segment, it's actually not one that we have a direct relationship. They're not going into our branches. They're at home. They're not interested in our branches. So how do we get that one-to-one interaction? How do we get them to feel like we want to engender their loyalty more? So this was an opportunity for us there. So, and as I mentioned, in 2008, we launched our community, and I mentioned Trade King and Zecco, you know, were really at the forefront, but from the larger financial institutions, and I've actually gotten validity through people I've been talking to, that we were at the forefront in this area from that aspect. We were early adopters, which is not easy for Schwab to do. But, you know, as we launched it, okay, we had to think about what are our objectives? Why are we launching this internally? Well, obvious, you know, we want to create that sense of community I mentioned. We want to deepen the relationships, engendering loyalty. Gain insights, okay? So the community obviously is an opportunity for clients to interact with each other, but they're by doing so, they're telling us their thoughts, right? And we hear them. And, you know, I'm sure you all see, if you have communities already out, you see this. People will write, Schwab, are you listening? Literally at the end of something they're saying. And it's important for us to make sure that we hear them. And, you know, it's another channel for us to raise awareness and usage for our products. It is not the primary. It's actually intentionally at last. That is not where our focus is. But community members, if they're spending a lot of time in the community, we want to make sure that they're seeing stuff that is relevant to them. Make sure I didn't skip anything there. Okay, so an additional part of the early process of building out the community and thinking about what goes into the community, we wanted to identify success factors. We looked at for example, I won't read all of them here, but you know, I mentioned earlier the concerns about Yahoo. So we identified that we wanted to be sure that we're monitoring content. We know it is only, I should have mentioned this earlier, the community is only open to our clients, and only clients in this specific segment. So they feel, and we're able to gauge, actually the community monitors itself on, you know, the type of content that's in there, if it's relevant to them as an audience, and they let our moderator, who's here, know when it's not. expert access. We also, you know, I mentioned that already. Critical mass of users. I'll get into that in a second when I talk about the adoption of the community. And then measurement. And this is another thing that I'm going to harp on throughout. Last year when I was here, you know, everyone that was here had a lot of questions about measuring their community, measuring the effectiveness, measuring the ROI. So I'll share some of that with you. But early on, we did identify some metrics. Obviously, there's metrics around is the community, what's going on in the community, right? Are they logging in? Are they participating? Are they viewing? Value. Are we getting, we keep coming back to our clients with surveys to make sure, are they happy with what we're doing? Where do we need to improve the community? We want to make sure we get insights. Client promoter score, that's, some of you may use that measurement, some not. It's a measurement of the stickiness to your company that a client has. It's a scale. I could do a whole hour plus presentation on it, but it's a great measurement for understanding how clients feel about your company, your firm, and your products. And then, you know, we want to look at, incremental trades, assets, and retention. to see, is this community bringing more to the firm? Okay. So I went through those. Next thing I want to share is just, we needed to make sure we said our active traders were our audience, but we needed to keep that in mind throughout the process, who these people are and what type of person are they. So, you know, we already had this research, but we had to bring it to the front of the minds of the people who are involved in the community. You know, who are our active traders? We needed to understand their profile. And something, you know, that a little might be surprising is, you know, the average age is around 62. It's actually, I think, like around 60 for our clients. And, you know, you might say to yourself, that was brave, you know, going to an older, mature audience with a new product in, you know, a social networking community product. Well, and for the rest of our client base, that would probably be very true, you know, our retail clients, our core client base. But in the active trader space, as I mentioned, these guys are retired, semi-retired, but they're not sitting on their hands all day. They want activity, and they're intrigued by the markets. So they're spending hours a day on their computer. They're your grandparents, your parents who have the Facebook page who nag you all day long on their Facebook and tell you that they put on their shoes this morning and the whole world that they went to the grocery store. They just think it's the coolest thing. So it actually was the right market for us. And that was important. And it's important to understand that about your market, who they are and what their needs. We also knew that they seek out information and education. We hold events around the country. We have webinars, and we knew that these were some of the primary attendees of those things. So we knew there was that appetite. So, all right, and that's a lot of the background. Now I'm going to walk through this timeline at the top, or this arrow chart at the top here. Really to talk about how we went from development, design, research at the beginning into implementation and through to our to some of our results. So we were really happy with our efforts when we launched the community. And we did a great job of, and I say we because it actually wasn't me. I wasn't on the project at the time of the launch, but they did a great job of understanding we needed a critical mass, right? When you launch a community, it'll die on the vine if you don't build it quickly and you have people coming in there and using it. So we looked around and we said, what are our channels available? Let's start working with our marketing partners and make sure that we're able to use all the channels at our disposal to build this awareness that this community exists and why it exists. Our publications, email, digital, new client, welcome collateral, the web, and then, of course, in our branches. Now, I mentioned our audience was older, right? I mentioned that, but they are computer savvy, but just because they're computer savvy, and even in your cases with potentially younger communities, not everyone knows what social media is. Not everyone lives it like we all do. And that's real important to be aware of. Play it down to the factor, to the lowest factor. Make sure that the resources are there, that they can figure out what you want them to do, why they should do it, what it is. So we wanted to make sure we had resources available. Training resources, web content, tutorials. Our community, we wanted to make sure, and I'll show you a couple examples of some things. You know, we had an active moderator. We had feedback opportunities, and of course, help. You know, we want to really make sure that we have all of this available when we launch, because you don't get so too many chances with people, right? You want to make sure you're prepared and ready at your launch early on as best as you can. Quick sip of water, sorry. Okay. All right. So a couple of things that I talked about last year, and these were highlight as, you know, strong things that we did. Jive actually called out a couple of things that we did as very creative and smart, and one of them here, and the other one's more of an obvious one. But the background is, you know, things to do while you're in the community. This was a post by our moderator, who's here in the front row, so just in case I can't answer all the questions, I'm going to point at him later. But, you know, we had this post and a link to it right off the homepage to help people who aren't sure, aren't clear what to do. The second thing, and this in the forefront here, is the welcome vote to the virtual tour. Now, this was a page on our website, our prospect website and our client website, where we created these personas at the bottom, and they may be hard to see, but they're types of traders at Schwab. For example, an options guy, a Schwab expert, a technical trader. And as you scrolled over them, you got, you know, this one quick hit line as to what the community might mean to this person. So, you know, they don't hit everybody, but they hit a lot of people, and they realize, oh yeah, okay, I'm kind of that guy. Let me check this out. And that was really what it was designed to do, and it was very effective at bringing people, when we used, you know, our banners and our communications, driving them to this to gain that awareness of what the community was. So, how am I doing here? Not too bad. All right. So, you know, moving from awareness, you get that initial awareness, you get that initial drive, and then you move into the areas around, you know, adoption and engagement. These two are obviously very tightly tied together. And you know, you see here, this slide sort of depicts our participation. When we launched, you know, back here, this was in mid-2008, you know, we had our beta period, we had a few people in, and then, you know, we had our launch, and as I mentioned, you know, we were really happy with our launch efforts. We saw this spike, you know, if you think of it on a bell curve, these are your early adopters, right? We were happy that we went probably beyond the bottom of the bell, slightly up the bell curve. So we considered it real effective, and people started, you know, people were engaging. They were doing stuff in the community. But we were so busy working on, at that point, I can think about this in hindsight now, we were so focused on getting them to join the community, you know, and dancing on tables because we met our numbers, and we got our people in, that we weren't really focused where we should have been, which is in keeping it going. We were still working on trying to get this number to keep going up. And what we ended up seeing was, you know, a drop-off. I think it's fair, and it, you know, we saw this, people kind of came in out of curiosity, but we maybe didn't do the best job to define why they should stay. Why should they continue to be in the community? Maybe they came in on a day where it was quiet. And they just, or it was topics on technical trading. There were a few people we were talking about, and it was above their head. don't really know. Actually, we do know, and I'll get to that. But, you know, at the time we went, well, what's going on? Why aren't they talking? So we went and called Jive, Barry, in the back of the room and said, help. We launched our community. We need help. Where do we go from here? What are some of our challenges? And you know, there was a few things up front that we thought about, and they were some of them fairly obvious. Remind your members that they're in the community. We had several people when we did a survey that, you know, they answered the first question, how happy are you with the community? And they said, I don't know what you're talking about. So they didn't remember that they actually joined the community. And so, you know, what we had done was we did a client newsletter monthly. And I know it's available in Jive now. We still do it outside because it wasn't at the time. But, you know, it's a simple way of just telling people, here's what's going on. Here's why you should come and check it out. We see great spikes when we did that. And then there's, you know, now there's so many more things. There's all the widgets. There's community everywhere. There's great tools to keep people aware and keep that channel going. And I'll talk more about, in another slide, talk about some of these experiences again. So some other things we did in this area of engagement was goes back to our research, right? We said our clients wanted to hear from us, and they wanted to hear from our experts. So this is a sampling of some of the experts internally and externally that are in our community. They blog in our community. And our clients really felt like they had this great content and value to come back to because they'll post on a fairly regular basis, anywhere from once a month, once a week, once every few months. We got to harass this guy. He's kind of slowed down a little bit. and that's our great moderator, does a great job of tackling those guys and passing the word back to them to keep up the posting. But it became a reason for them to come back to the community. And not only that, but, and this is why I kind of put it under engagement, I kind of was torn, is it adoption, is it engagement? But the engagement piece to me was they could communicate with these people in a way that they would never be able to do. They certainly can pick up the phone and call Lizanne Saunders. She's too busy on CNBC doing interviews and talking about the markets. But they were able to gain access to them and really felt like they were having conversations with them. So it brought them in, and then they got responses from them, you know, which is great. And we've really gotten great feedback on this. We continue to try and work with new people internally and externally to bring these people into our community. second thing about engagement, I started to talk about this, and I had a full slide, so I actually got ahead of myself a little bit. But I mentioned we talked with Barry and Jive. You know, we saw that dip, and so we said, okay, well, what are we doing wrong here? Let's go back to our clients. Let's talk to them. Let's ask them, what are we doing? What are your challenges? Why are you not participating more? And you got all kinds of answers, and you can't address all of them. The guy who says, yeah, just didn't see a value. It just wasn't for me. But there were things that there were some real big giant softballs that stood out as obvious areas, and some of them had to do with our design of our UI. We found that people went to, which on the left here is our old site. We got people saying, well, a question was, you know, why are you? How often do you post? And then we followed up if it was, you know, within the 0 to 5 times a month. Well, why? And we actually had a whole lot of zeros in there. And, you know, some of the reasons were I don't feel comfortable. But one was I don't know how. And we said, what do you mean you don't know how? You click on the discussion and then you start and then you talk about it. Or you click to start and we went, huh, wait a minute. You know what? It doesn't really. It's actually under the arrow. There was a little button right here. That was a pretty obvious one, and it's one that we actually laugh about and go, well, how did we miss that? So you see on the right our redesign, you know, big starter discussion, another starter discussion. You click on a link, you'll see a big starter discussion. So make it obvious. Make sure people know what to do easily. Don't make them hunt and peck. a second area around this that that I wanted to mention was they didn't know. Some of our clients said, "Well, yeah, you got this email said to join the community. Okay, I joined, but I couldn't get back. I don't know how to get back to it. I didn't know how to find it. We have a massive website. I could say, oh, sure, here, you go to our education, you click on the tab on the left, and I went, oh my gosh, it's like 18 clicks deep to get to our community. That's not helping these people. So, you know, we went and worked with our web partners and try and bring that community to the forefront, bring it up a level, two levels, three levels, make sure it's easy for them to remember it and come back. Okay. Now this slide, I'm sure everyone's seen a version of this, you know, this information here, right? They're all probably pretty close. You know, your lurkers, your novice, your veterans, and then your super users, or in this case, they're called core influencers. this group at the bottom, right? That small group, whatever it might be, 1%, 5%, you know, generally it's around that number. You see, the reality is they represent this when it comes to the content and solutions. It's very consistent. Everybody I talk to says the same thing. It's a very valid number, give or take, plus or minus, you know, a couple of percentage points. So what does that mean? It means these people are really important for you. You need to grow this group. You need to cultivate them. You need to pat them on the back. You need to say hi to them. They're the secret sauce. They're gonna make or break your community. Then the other thing I wanted to mention regarding this is your moderation, right? When you're launching your community, you know, your moderator plays a really critical role for you. And they wear a lot of hats, and it's probably typically because of funding or whatever. You're not getting 3, 4, 5, 6 people to be your moderators. You're lucky if you get one person or you get a half person. Well, that poor person spends an awful lot of time doing you know, everything that you researched that should be 3 or 4 people. You have to try and get them to do all of it. They're going to be your police, right? They're going to make sure everybody behaves. They're going to act on any red flags. They're monitoring your community. But a piece that you want to make sure is that they're also interacting with the community. They're playing an important role, and they are the contact. They are Schwab, in our case, to the 10,000 members. They're their key contact point. And I've seen this when I review private messages or, you know, messages in the community. Hi, Bunyan, how you doing today? And oh, they'll even send him random things. Did you see the game last night? Or, you know, but creating that personalness between your moderator and especially your super users is great, and it really helps secure that community's stickiness. Again, is a word I would use there. What am I doing? So I talked through. Some of the initiatives around our awareness, around adoption and engagement. Now I want to share this slide get into a couple of things around our results. This is a little different slide, not terribly different, but a little different slide than the one several ago where I talked about the activity. And this is around our membership. And you see in this slide, we really didn't see that bubble curve where it really dipped. I was really impressed with our efforts at the beginning. My favorite way to talk to this slide is a little baseball, and not that I don't know why I thought baseball, but it's a simple analogy, and because I'm not a baseball player. But, you know, we were pretty, looking back, we had a home run right off the bat in the first inning. We got the word out. we got traction. People checked it out, right? And we, and then we saw this leveling off. And then we started to say, we saw this leveling off in here and said, we should be doing stuff. So, then we started to look for hits. When I look back, I would go, our acquisition emails, those are probably doubles. Every time we did one, once a quarter, roughly, big bump, right? And so we saw that over a time period here. And then, we realized sustaining this effort, you need singles too. And so things like online promotion, having banners on your site that encourage people to let them know where the community is, what the community is. Another one that we did is we host webinars every day for our clients to educate them on a variety of topics. Well, we talked to that group, and we got a slide in at the end of their presentations that says, continue the conversation on blank, today's topic. Join the community or look to the community. These were all little singles. And what you saw, the impact of these wasn't a big spike, but the line sort of changed its slope. And it started to go more regularly in between these doubles on an upward angle. And I know this is five or six months old now, but I'll admit we have seen actually a leveling off in this 10 to 12,000 range, and we're not surprised by it actually. When we did our research to launch our community to get an understanding of what an expectation of what our audience might be back then, it was about the 10 to 15,000 range, let's say. So we actually felt pretty good about where we were related to that. It doesn't mean by any means that we said, okay, I'm done. Can I take a 6-week vacation because we did this? We know that that was a place in time statistic 4 years ago. We all have seen how social media has exploded. That number is most certainly higher, so there's most certainly an opportunity for us to continue to grow our membership. We had to prioritize. When we got in here into 2000, late or mid 2009, we said, okay, we started to see the gap between in our regular monthly metrics, we're watching views and posts, so logins, views, and then membership, and it started to widen, right? So we said we need to focus on engagement. We want those two both to continue to rise. We don't want to see a leveling off in engagement, and that's when we started doing more focus around getting people to talk, encouraging that activity. All kinds of factors play into it in your communities and in ours. Market conditions, vacation time. We certainly see that seasonality in our numbers. But now that we've matured, we're 2.5 years in. We feel like we've fine-tuned things enough that we can focus on both. And so we're going to continue to focus on both and growing, and in the engagement. Okay, last slide around the results. This is one of the first times that we went back to our leadership, say about a year and a half into the project, with some information to show the value of the community. And so what we did was we looked at a lot of the metrics that our leadership are interested in. Trades, revenue, profit, additional products through Schwab, and we said, okay, well, what's the makeup of our community members against our active trader clients, and then against our overall client base, and so what we found out was that our community members, they trade more, they drive higher revenue, they're more profitable, they're more engaged, and they're more likely to own other products. And this was a great slide. It's not what this slide doesn't say. I wish it said, but we really weren't there yet at this time. I wish it said, well, that's because of the community that they do this. It doesn't say that now. it says that the members of the community represent more value. So it, while it's not give me an extra $5 million for the community because we're doing so great, what it was it's a tool clearly that our sweet spot clients are using. Okay? And that's an important early metric. You're not going to be able to get to an ROI in the first year, the second year. You're probably not going to be able to show that yet. But it was something that we were able to show positive results and value. So, speaking of ROI, that's kind of where we are today. I came in last year to this event, and this is about a year, almost exactly a year ago, right? And I sat in the room. I stood on the stage and talked about a lot of the stuff I talked about before, a lot of detail more on our redesign and how we did that. But, you know, walking around and talking to peers, we all had lots of questions about ROI, because we all know that the people in our leadership all want that at some point. They're going to give you some leeway when you start your community. They understood you presented a business case. They approved it. They're in a leadership position for a reason. They understand it takes a little time, but the leash is not that long. The pop quiz later is naming all these people. Some of them are obvious. And, you know, Bunyan, Troy, you better know this one at least. But so what's the ROI? Where we started was, we have a group at Schwab called our Insight and Loyalty Group. They do a lot of strategic, statistical studying and strategic planning for Schwab. It's kind of like a database marketing group. But the leaders in there are really thoughtful people. So we went to them and we said, okay, we've been doing this for years and we really want to show how do we get to an ROI here? And, you know, we sat down and we talked about some things and they said, they helped guide us. They said, well, what types of things would you like to show, make sense to show positive, or the value, or the success of the community. And so we started coming up with some questions. And here's the questions that we came up with, that we kind of honed in on. to what extent is the community helping attract or retain clients? What impact does the community have on the client's experience? Cost savings. Did the community help with cost savings? Did it impact, this kind of ties closely to the first question, but did it impact net new assets, risk-adjusted return, or increased trading in our case? Referrals, did join the community encourage clients to refer? And then are members that contribute more profitable than those that don't? And so what we did, they said, great, those are questions. We're in the measurement world now. Welcome to talking to senior leadership. You have to measure everything you want to show. You can't just say, I'm the moderator, and Joe told me he loves the community and he loves Schwab. Not good enough. Not good enough for these people, right? So you need measurements. And so we came back and we looked and said, okay, here's some measurements. And if you look, you notice one in the middle here, cost savings. We said, we're using the community. Clients are helping each other answer questions about the platform, about trading, things that they might be calling in for. Surely we got to be saving money. They said, okay, how are you going to validate that? We said, isn't that what you're going to help us do? And the answer was no. So that one, to be quite honest, we said, okay, we can't do that yet. But we know it's important. And now we got to go back and figure out ways to measure this. So when we come back a year or two later with a new analysis, we want to be able to have data that we can pull. Data is everything for these people. So you need that validation. So once we had our questions, our measurements, we sat down again with insight and loyalty. And we said, okay, we know this. We have this data about our members. And they said, okay, here's the way we do this. We need to find a comparison group to validate what you're looking at in your community to compare against. Okay, so for us, we had been around 2 years roughly at the time, and we said, okay, we've sent out, multiples of communications to people to encourage them to join the community. So we clearly have a group that accepted that invitation and showed an interest, and we have a group that didn't. And they said, okay, good, that's your apples to apples, great. So then you take your, this becomes, a version of this becomes a slide in your deck that you present, right? Whatever your aspects are that you're measuring, you look at them across their two groups. These are hypotheticals, I have to say. It says it on the bottom. I'm not allowed to share, as you can all understand, our actuals. And to be honest, we're actually right in the middle of this right now. I'd hoped several months ago that all this would be done so that it would make my slides easier to build. But it is not, and so we did have the process, so I definitely did not want to leave this out, especially since I told Cameron that this would be part of my presentation, and he was excited about it. But so you have your groups, and it's very simple, right? What's the delta? What's the difference between your key categories? Are you positive? Are you flat? Are you negative? And that becomes a slide to share. Showing where you are today. So we're done with insight and loyalty. We got one good slide to share. We've got all our upfront slides, our pretty marketing slides to share. We all know that the leaders are going right to those back pages that show the numbers. We got one. Next, we went to finance, and we wanted to work with them because we know that they're the ones who build the numbers, right? They're the ones who put the Excels together that show your contribution margins, your NPVs, whatever, 3 year, 5 year, whatever your company uses. They're the ones who are going to, in our case, are going to help build that. So we meet with them, we share what we have, and then we come to them and we say, okay, we now have to step into their world and use the data that they typically provide. And here's some examples of a few things. Again, I couldn't show them all, not allowed. I actually had them and they deleted the whole slide, so I had to argue back and forth. Can I at least show some examples of some of the things that we look at? So for us, we look for lift. Well, where do we look for lift? When finance does an analysis, trades, retention, cost savings. This is something that I actually really want to see. This one's a little challenging, honestly, for us, because how do you validate this? I've actually been doing some research. I'm sure a lot of people have read Groundswell. There's some good information in there on value of advertising, PR, word of mouth. They've got a few examples in there. And there's other sources. And I know, actually, there's another book coming out from Forrester on that, too. But you need to create some accounting for those things. And then costs. Those are obvious. So we take those, and the glass is there, because what we do is we create some scenarios with finance. We create an optimistic and a conservative scenario. And then, in our case, we build out an NPV analysis. Big, fancy Excel chart that made me go cross-eyed the first time I look at it. I should say finance does. And, they have all their factors that come in, your year one costs, your initial costs, then your reductions in cost, your couple of dollars that you pay Jive for your community because they're such a bargain. And you build that out into your plan, right? And then you look out and finance predicts out these two different scenarios. It's really good when you're working with senior leadership, at least at our company, to not show, here's what we think and we know this is going to be it. They know you're lying or you're making it up. Show them a few different scenarios. In our case, it's typically two or three. best case, worst case, depending on the project, middle ground. So that gives them an idea of what they can expect. When they see that analysis from finance, they know it's valid through the measures that they've approved. So that's where we're actually in this phase right now. Things look good from the initial results that I've seen. They're not super spectacular. I didn't expect them to be, but they're good, and they show that our community is impacting business results. So, how am I doing? I'm actually 5 minutes ahead of where I need to be. I'm being a New Yorker and talking too fast, probably. A little bit around what do we have next at Schwab? What are we doing from here to go forward? A couple of things that we are thinking about. You know, leveraging the community as a platform for service. I mentioned that we do a little bit there. And, you know, and honestly, I think we can do a lot more working with our service partners in the community. I know I heard some on Twitter while in one session, heard people in another session, in the McAfee session. I think they gave a number in the 50 or 60% range of the members in the community who are in their community who don't call service because they found their answers. Okay, that's a win, right? And that's a measurable win. You can equate that to dollars and cents. So that's an area that we need to grow in. We've done a lot of work. Bunyan and I have done a lot of work with our service leadership to create that awareness of the community, get them involved in the community, and understanding what's going on. Find out, let's see, another one might be expanding at Schwab. I mentioned our audience, right? We started with the active trader audience. We've shown some success, and social media has grown. There are more people who are aware. There's no reason why we shouldn't look to expand outside of active trader. And so, you know, we're working through those conversations, and getting this ROI results only helps more to validate that and bring that to the front. I'm going to leave a little bit of time for questions so you can see the others. So I'm going to close with Cameron. When I built the deck, he said, you got to throw a summary slide together. You got to leave him with, you know, a few bullet points. So I said, okay. All right, here's what comes to my mind that I would take away, you know, if I had just a few bullet points to concisely describe our experience and what we found to be key. Be clear upfront about the success factors and metrics that you will use. Measure. I know it's challenging. It was very challenging for us to understand measurement for a community, but so many companies that have been at the front of this wave have figured that stuff out, and the research is there. Just dig around for it. It's there. I showed some of our examples. Other companies do it different ways. It's there, though. Adoption. This is something we were really proud of the way we did. You know, it requires a sustained, consistent effort. Really make sure you're constantly looking at your community and how it's growing. Ask your community what you can do. And I actually, in just looking at that, I would revise it and say not just your community. Ask your people who aren't in the community why they're not in the community and what you can do to bring them in. And be strategic and measurable when you get to that ROI point. Your leaders won't accept anything else. So I believe that's it. It is. I guess we have some time for questions. I'll do my best to answer if we have any. I think that, and there is a microphone. Barry's got it in the back. Yeah.
I was just curious where you see the long-term customer engagement value of your community, say, in 1 year or 3 years. And, I mean, I know you have some customers that are engaging with you currently. Do you see those same customers engaging with you in 6 months, in a year, in 3 years? Or do you just see it as a platform where the customers keep changing and you just kind of funnel in new customers and, you know, mm-hmm. Like what does it look like in 3 years for you?
Yeah, I think it continues. Hopefully, it continues the way it's gone for us so far. In that, I showed, and I actually forgot to talk about this, but one of the reasons for a drop-off for us in some of our numbers of members, we actually kept the standard settings in Jive, which, you know, if somebody doesn't do something for a year, they drop out. It's an adjustable setting, so if you are aware or aren't aware, if that doesn't work for you, you can adjust that. But we felt like that was about right. And we wanted that because it opened a bucket to come back and market back to these people. If they're not engaged, they haven't done anything in a year, they've forgotten about the community, or they, you know, glanced and didn't do anything. So we want to make sure we're marketing back to them. So I guess it's a little tangent to your question, but I really think that we continue to grow and see the super user. As we grow in our numbers, if we stay within those ratios, those standard ratios, you know, that 50, 30, 20, or 15, 5, you know, whatever the range is there in your statistics. If we're in that range, we're in a good place. Our job is to make sure we continue to develop strong content to keep them coming back, as well as continue to have quality moderation, quality members in the community. So I really think we haven't seen a whole lot from our super user to our novice users. We're not seeing a lot of people leaving, if that helps. More questions.
How do you make sure that you, when you're gathering metrics, you've got the cause-effect relationship in the right direction? Are your community members more profitable because they were more profitable to start with, and that's why they joined the community? Or are they more profitable because they joined the community?
Yeah. And that's honestly what some people thought when they saw that, when they first saw the slide. Back. One, two more. Where is it? This one, right? Next one. They saw this slide and they said, oh, you're telling me that the community did all this. We weren't there yet, and honestly, I think that really is important, and that is part of our ROI analysis too. We want to look at, I don't have the data yet, but I do want to know what the impact of the community on this, not just the value that they bring as clients, but the impact that the community has. It's not as easy, and it's much more challenging in numbers, but we can get there. You know, you can find statistical measures to, you know, you'll have a factor. It might be a 10% factor, fluff factor, but you can get to those things if you have the data in your systems, right? You know, in our industry, we know that Joe does 20 trades a month on average. We can look back and go, is he still doing 20 trades a month? Is he doing 25? Is he doing 15? There's a lot of, and the fluff factor is, how can you say that's really, I'd love to go, oh yeah, he's doing 25 now. Those five are community. Maybe the market's great. Maybe, you know, maybe the market's flying. You know, your leadership will know that, and they'll call your bluff on that. So make sure you're really aware of those factors and say it. You know, yes, that isn't something we can measure. And on a couple of them, like trades, we're not so sure we can really validate that, but we can find the things when we look at those comparison groups. We find those categories that we measure, and we do validate those.
Stephen, two questions. The first one is, what is driving, or what drivers do you have at your disposal to manage the participation of experts in these communities? Particularly because you actually do not quite know where the causality is between the value of the community and the value to Schwab overall. So how do you influence this? And the second one is, if this is now looking like a showcase within Schwab, do you have sort of a similar mirror image of communities within Schwab itself, or is this only facing externally?
Thanks. So the second one first. This is our only community. We are a group that I have nothing to do with is looking at internal communities and evaluating partners for our internal community. So this is our one and only community that we have right now. The first question, so you're asking me how we how we develop relate. I think it started to go one way, and I'm not sure if I was clear what you were asking, but how do we develop the relationships to bring experts into the community?
Remember, you started off by sort of saying why this Schwab community is so different from Yahoo Finance. And obviously, one of the issues is the quality and the trust of the experts. So what is driving the participation of experts, or what can you do to actually drive experts and make them available in the community?
Yeah, so the expert piece, and I might have confused it. The experts I consider are the people I mentioned on the sample of the people I mentioned on the slide with the pictures, the Liz Ann Saunders, the Randy Frederick. These are experts that are in the financial services industry that have, you know, jobs that anywhere from, you know, a strategic analyst like Lizanne or an options or a CBOE educator. I think the term you're talking about is our members. How do I consider them, you know, experts? And the way we've filtered that is by the community itself. The segment that we are in is our active trader segment. So people who are in this segment have to trade at a certain level to be part of this offering at Schwab, versus say a client, and I'll come up with some hypotheticals. Let's say, our segment is 50 trades or more a year that comes into our segment. So, when they do this behavior, they either come in and tell us that they've traded like this or they attribute this behavior through their trading. They're added to the segment. They're offered different tools versus say a retail client who maybe does 4 or 5 trades a year. So that's a big factor in understanding their behavior. It tends to speak to their interest, their level of participation in the markets. So it's an education thing. People in the active trader segment tend to be spending a lot more time on trading. So they're inherently more educated on trading. Does that help?
We have time for one more question.
All right, random guess. Who's going?
Yeah, thank you. You're in a heavily regulated industry. How did you get legal and compliance on board, and are they part of your communities?
I thought about that. If they asked me back next year after coming here this year, there's a whole lot more financial services companies here. It's actually great. I've met several already, and I hope if I know actually in the networking there's a finance topic, so I hope to meet a bunch more people. It's an ongoing battle. when we launched the community, you know, we really had to have a sound business case. We worked real closely with our compliance to create a guidelines document that's about that thick, you know, for the community. We have a user agreement. You know, we have this constant pressure in our business. It's not to bore the people who aren't, but anything that is done in the community is considered communications with the public. It's not a one-to-one conversation. It's a one-to-many, and as such, it falls into this giant set of rules from regulatory agencies that you have to comply with. It makes it more challenging for us. For a lot of stuff, we're not in a real-time environment when information is coming from us. Information between members, that's all real time in the community, but when these people are posting in the community, it actually gets funneled through a lot of process, review, approval, and posting, and a lot of that work falls on our moderator to be the filter for all that. So it is a challenge, but we've been pretty happy with them. They've worked really well with us. We've worked with FINRA directly as well. You know, in working towards the regulations. If you're in the industry, you know, they did about 6 months ago, they had that big, you know, addendum. And I think, and I guess, I don't want to go too far because I guess we could talk about this one in the finance, but I think there's some leeway in there, which is kind of exciting. Now I got to get compliance to agree with me on that. All right, I guess that was the end. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to learning from you guys, so please share your experiences with me as well. I've shared ours. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.